opposition has accused the government of going ahead with policy changes without adequate consultation. Changes to the distribution priority areas for overseas doctors by the Albanese government will lead to GP shortage as many will opt for urban areas under the expanded system, according to Shadow Minister Senator Anne Ruston. Roderick Chambers asked her how this policy change was going to affect numbers of GPs in rural and regional Australia.
There was a program that was put in place called Distribution Priority Areas, which required certain GPs to have to practice for a period of time in rural and regional areas before they were able to get their qualifications to move back to the city. And what we've seen this government do is to change those priority areas to include metropolitan areas. And so we're seeing many of our international medical graduates are choosing just to go to the cities and not go to the countries, but worse still, those that were in country, rural and regional areas are now moving back to the cities. So right at a time when we had a workforce crisis that was being most acutely felt in rural, regional and remote Australia, this government put an action in place that made it worse.
But with the new government budget announcements, that should mean that there will be more GPs available, shouldn't there?
There's nothing in the budget that we have seen that would suggest that there will be any more GPs or any more health professionals anywhere. The great absence of this budget was anything to do with workforce. We saw a number of big ticket item announcements, whether that be around 60-day dispensing, whether it be around the tripling of the incentive for bulk billing, whether it be around vaping. None of these decisions or these initiatives have addressed the absolute number one issue facing Australia's health system, and that is workforce. And until we address workforce, these promises or commitments aren't worth the paper they're written on.
So is this the training of GPs at the beginning in universities, or is it bringing in new GPs from overseas that you're talking about?
Look, I think we need to have a coordinated approach to workforce, and it needs to be a workforce plan that covers all of the care sector, because we know that GPs work in aged care facilities. We know that there are specialist doctors and GPs that work with disability sector. We know they work, obviously, in hospitals. They work in private practice. And we know that they work in country areas, they work in city areas. And so what we need, and we've been calling on the government for the last 12 months, is to follow through with a national coordinated workforce plan so that we can start addressing the challenge that was very seriously exacerbated by COVID and no migration.
But are you happy with the tripling of the Medicare payment for GPs?
Well, certainly we want to see as many Australians as possible being able to get easy and cheap access to their GP. And so the tripling of the bulk billing incentive is one way where we can hopefully incentivise GPs to continue to be bulk billing their patients. But the point I make is that unless we actually have more GPs and we've got better access to GPs, they may get a bit more money for bulk billing them, but we need to get more appointments. We need to get more GPs.
Now, there's also another measure that you've been critical of, and that's taking away one of the fast-acting insulins off the PBS listing. Now, how has that happened in your view?
Well, what's happened is that as part of a pricing mechanism that's built in to make sure Australians get access to the cheapest possible medicines available, what happened with this drug, which is called FIASP, which is a fast-acting insulin, which has changed the lives of people who live with diabetes, is that because the government didn't give them the exemption through ministerial discretion to keep the product on the market at a price that was above the cost to the manufacturer, they have chosen to remove the drug and leaving 15,000 Australians who relied on it without their medication. Luckily, a really, really strong public awareness campaign has made the government reconsider, and they've left it listed for another 6 months up until the 1st of October. But we're calling on the government to make sure that this medicine, or at least something that is an equivalent to it, is available for people who have, say, and everyone you speak to who's on this medication say it has changed their lives immeasurably.
There was some concerns that you've raised about the aged care sector, and there has been a number of nursing homes that had to be sold, but I'm not sure whether they're closing or not. You would think that the amount of increase in some of the aged care sector workers that the government has announced would help the sector, wouldn't it?
Well, first of all, we haven't actually seen any increase in terms of workforce in the sector. We have seen a 15% pay increase that the Fair Work Commission has recommended, and of which, obviously, I think all Australians would like to see our aged care workers paid a fair and reasonable amount. They do a fabulous job supporting older Australians. But what we have seen, we know in the last 8 months that we've seen 23 nursing homes in Australia closed down as a direct result of the requirement legislated by the government to make to demand that there are registered nurses on site 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
But now, are they actually all closing physically, or are they being sold to other operators?
No, we are seeing nursing homes close. And what we are saying is that you can't demand that nursing homes or any other business for that matter do something that is just physically not within their control to do it.
Senator Anne Rustin, Opposition Shadow Minister for Health, Aged Care and Sport, speaking there with Roderick Chambers.